you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. And I will praise you. And I will sing of love. Come down. Show your face. We'll see.
Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara. We're so glad to see you all here this morning to worship with us. I wasn't watching. I don't know if there were any announcements that were scrolling behind me, but the only thing that I'm thinking about announcement-wise this morning is the fact that Bible school starts this week, and I'm excited. It's great to see all of the decorations that are up here in preparation for Bible school and the preparation, and we thank our teachers and our Bible school committee for all the work that they're putting into this time of a fellowship that'll be created for the children of our community. So I'm looking forward to that. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought to our attention this morning? If not, I'm going to ask you all to rise and join in the call to worship. Lord, lead us in the trials we face. Free us from temptations. Deliver us from all evil. Guide us, Lord, as we walk the talk. Give us wisdom to know your ways and help us resist doing life our way. May you be glorified in all we do and as we worship you, our one true God and Savior. Please join us for hymn number 521, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
This could be a joy, or this could be a concern. But look around you, you see some wild animals, and what we're about to do in a moment to get pumped up for VBS is make the sound of one of these wild animals. Okay? So look around, I see a few that I can try anyway. And on the count of three, we're going to get the kids excited for Vacation Bible School. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three.
Ribbit.
That was definitely a concern. No, that was a joy. That was a complete joy because VBS is going to be so exciting. We value every single person that has been a part of making this possible. So if that's you this morning, if you've been involved in VBS planning at all, whether behind the scenes or you're going to be a teacher, assistant teacher, helping with snacks, whatever it is, if you want to put your hand up in the air and just wave it real high so people can look around, keep them in the air. And I want others to look around and see those individuals that are going to be helping this week. I want you to look at least one person in the eye and say, I'm going to be praying for you this week. I'm going to be praying for you this week, okay? Because we don't know how many kids are going to show up. There could be hundreds. There could be 100. But whatever, whoever shows up, we want these teachers, these volunteers, to know that we are praying for them and that they matter because VBS matters because kids' lives are at stake and they're going to hear about Jesus this week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's pray for those volunteers and staff. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to provide a Vacation Bible School for our community. We know that it's in the wild, and we are so excited to help these kids know about creation, to be able to know about you, and to know what it means to follow you. So I pray for every single volunteer, no matter what area they may be serving in, that you would give them strength, you would give them energy, that you would just build their passion as tomorrow arrives, and we invite these children to be a part of our Vacation Bible School program. Bless each one, Lord. Excite the kids, Lord, as they get here and allow them to be open and be able to receive what you have in store for them each day. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You'll always notice in our bulletin prayer concerns, and we invite you to keep that near to you each day as you're saying your daily prayers, but we would invite you also for any other additional prayer concerns you may have.
I have one, Pastor Matt. I talked to Lisa Gagliano yesterday. Jenna was in a car accident, and I guess her car is totaled, and she's at home recovering. So Lisa is having to care for Jenna. So that's a concern, because wearing down on Lisa and her mother and grandmother. On their way home from the hospital, Lisa and Jenna, her grandmother is being transported to the Reading Hospital. Her grandmother's name is Cora Shepler. So Cora Shepler's in Reading Hospital. Lisa's at home. Her mother doesn't drive anymore. So she's having to transport Jenna to work, herself to work, and her mother to the Reading Hospital. So I'm going to put a challenge out there. Little Sitara, let's help her out in this situation. She needs some transportation help, getting to and from work, and Jenna to and from work, and her mother to the hospital to visit her mother. So Lisa, Jenna, and Cora, and Dorothy.
Chance. It's an announcement, but we should probably highlight that as well.
Okay. Sandy Kaufman sent this announcement that's concerning Rarisburg's history book. They're looking for sponsors that would like to put a book in book a name in memory of or in honor of at the bottom of a page. Charges $10. See Sandy Kaufman for information.
I would like prayer for Dave Morton. Keep him in your prayers as he's going through some times he has to deal with.
Good morning. I would ask for your prayer. I have been asked by Camp Swatara to be their nurse from July the 21st to the 26th. I've never done this before, so I'm a little nervous. Thank you.
This is sort of a joy. I know quite often we're doing these prayer concerns and we don't get the follow-up to see what has happened. When I was shopping the other day at Dutchway, I ran into Lester Bayshore Jr. He is completely healed and he had just finished his first day back at work. So, update and hallelujah.
Many of you remember me saying to pray for Jonathan Weaver, the man that lost both his feet. He's getting along splendid. He's walking with artificial feet and getting around and preaching the gospel, gets around on his wheelchair, and he adapted some of his mowers and stuff so he can use his hands. But they're getting along fine, and we're so happy.
Just an update on Daniel Bryant. He had some tests this week that went great, and he did well with those. And his next test date is July 22nd for CT scan and an MRI. And the family appreciates all the prayers that they know we've been having for them and continue to do so.
The joy of annual conference last week. It was, as I was sitting here this morning thinking about it, it's reminding me of the song, "He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." The compelling vision process was kind of amazing. I mean, if for those who've already been to conference and sat at one of the tables, the discussion tables, you probably have a better understanding of what I'm thinking. But it is an amazing thing to sit and discuss these questions with a group of seven other people that you never knew before, and grow together to be a caring team. It was a very touching time, and the process isn't complete. They gathered a lot of information at conference, and they'll be going through that information and working towards developing the compelling vision. So this is the part where God will be faithful and bring it through.
Thank you for being our delegates and those that attended.
Please pray for my sister-in-law's brother's family. He was killed this week in a car accident. Keith Weaver.
Busy week for prayer this week. If we could pray for one of my coworkers. My coworker is Cindy, but the prayer is for her mom, Patty Bemisterfer. Last Monday, they celebrated Patty's 85th birthday, and she was doing great. By Tuesday, they had her in the hospital, and her kidneys have failed dramatically in this past week, and this weekend, she's been moved into hospice.
Lord, we still our hearts before you. We quiet our souls. And we're mindful of you in our midst. We know, Lord, that you are an active God. You know each of our lives, what we're dealing with in this very moment. You know the mourning that we've experienced. You know the weekend and the week in the past that we've gone through. You know those things upon our hearts right now that are causing us to be very emotional. And Lord, we just want to hand them to you. For we know when we try to handle these situations on our own, we become overwhelmed. We become stressed. We become filled with anxiety. And Lord, that's not your plan for us. Your plan is for us to know your comfort, to know your peace, to know that you are indeed moving. So thank you, God, for every single prayer request that was given this morning. You know the impact that these individuals have had on our lives, whether friends or family members. You know the loss that some are experiencing and the mourning that they're going through. But Father, you ask us to cast our cares, our worries, our anxieties upon you. And we know that your burden is light. And so thank you, Father, for allowing us to do that this morning. And we purposefully do so. And we ask you, Father, to just continue to show us who you are through the love that we have for one another. As the annual conference has wrapped up, we know much work is ahead of us. But we know, Lord, that we desire to remain faithful to you. We desire to know what your inerrant word states. And Lord, we long to walk that talk. But Lord, we struggle. We fall prey to temptation. And we sin. And Lord, we know that there is forgiveness. We know as we look to the cross, we see your Son hanging there, paying the price for each of us. And this morning, we don't take that for granted. For we know that that was an unconditional love, a love unlike any love we'll ever experience. So, Father, we just thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us when we confess, when we repent, when we tell you that we're sorry. But, Lord, we know it doesn't end there. We know, Lord, we must turn and we must walk the other way, as far away from those sins as possible. But we know, again, that we'll be tempted. And so we just turn to you in this very hour for strength, for encouragement to face those temptations. We do pray, Lord, for those on our prayer concerns by name. And we know, Father, you know specifically what's going on. And we ask for patience, for endurance. We ask for healing. We ask for strength. We ask for wisdom. We ask for guidance for the Bryant family, for Carl Graby, for Kenny Ziegler, for Linda Ziegler, for Hershey Meyer, for Ruth Keeney, for Brother Craig Smith, for Jenna, for Cora, for Dave, for Suzanne, for Jonathan, for the Keith Weaver family, and for Patty. Lord, we give each of them to you and ask that your will would be done. Help us, Father, to continue to pray for them, specifically for their needs as healing may be desired. Lord, if it's your will, we pray for a powerful healing touch. We think of our sister congregation, Veritas, who is just welcomed as a congregation at annual conference. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters that are worshiping there. And we pray that you would continue to move mightily in our denomination, and you would allow us to know you, Lord, to know your plans for us. And we just ask now in these next few moments, you would hear those prayers of confessions and also hear the prayers upon our hearts. Thank you for being a listening God. Lord, our heart's desire this morning is that we would be made new. We know that through you we can be transformed. We can be made into your image. And we pray, Father, that it would be so. Not only this day as we celebrate you on Sunday during worship and hear your word, but each day of the week. Lord, we know that you go with us and we celebrate that fact. We rejoice of that fact. So thank you, God, for being a God that's present in each of our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we come before you with the needs of our world, we confess our failures and our sin. For our words are many, yet our deeds have been few. Then the fire of compassion once again. Kyrie eleison. Christy Lane.
In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 12, it says that Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." God, help us to remember how far we've come with your help. Let these offerings be a small token of our gratitude for your goodness in our lives. Amen.
Children's story, and this lady forgot her microphone, so maybe somebody could bring me a microphone as well.
Or just take the microphone. Oh. Yeah. She'll take the microphone.
Yeah, Mark's bringing one. Why not?
We're going to talk about
okay, we're not going to talk at all.
All right. Don't you hate it when it works when somebody else uses it?
Yeah.
So Mark did want to come back up front. We're going to talk about temptation. Some of you older children, how would you describe temptation?
Like if you're getting led away from God.
Oh, wow. She's so theological. Wow. Well, she's very biblically based. Her answer was about God right away. What do you think temptation is, Annie?
Drived away from something you're doing.
Yeah, that would be good. How about maybe you see something you want, but mom said no.
tempting to get it.
It's tempting to get it, yes. Can anybody remember the first story of temptation in the Bible? Who were the first people that were tempted? Adam and Eve, very good. And, secrets in here. Let's see if I can find it. Does this look familiar?
It's an apple.
It's an apple, yeah. So they were tempted by the fruit in the garden. Who tempted them?
A snake.
Yeah, I noticed there's a lot of snakes in this church today.
Cool.
Yeah.
About 60 species.
So. That's good to know. And hopefully none of those 60 are in this church.
No.
So
there are really no poisonous snakes in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well, that's also great news to me. Because I found a snake skin this week right outside my back door. So Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan or the devil. They weren't tempted by God, were they? God told them not to do it, not to eat from that tree, but they did anyway. So the first one thing that might have been tempting was like an apple. Maybe it was an apple.
They are delicious.
They are. What about, do you think this would be tempting to anybody?
Not really.
Carrot ginger soup, so that wouldn't be tempting to anybody? Really?
I think this apple's more tempting than soup.
Oh, okay. How about... I have someone I love very much here at church. I love a lot of people here at church, but someone I love very much would be tempted by this.
I'm still tempted by the apple.
Chocolate bar. How about you, LJ? Yeah, that's a thumbs up in case you can't see a thumbs up.
I would rather eat the apple.
Two apples. How about you? Candy or the apple? Apple. Wow, we have some healthy children here, Pastor Matt. Now, I'm going to be honest, and I am tempted by these. How about you? Kind of? Yeah. Yeah, chips are a temptation to me.
I never had that kind.
You never had Diefenbach chips?
They're really good.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Wow. I'll see what I can do about that. Maybe, Chloe, what do you think about this? Would you like cookies? Do you like cookies, Chloe? Yeah. How about you, Jack? You like cookies? These are the only cookies I had because someone else I love very dearly ate all the cookies at the house. Yeah. So, and then there's another thing that might be tempting. And it might be like a gold coin. This one's not real, but it's a big one. It's actual metal, yeah. So sometimes money can tempt you as well. So when we were being tempted, who did we decide? Very good. Thank you very much for returning my quarters. So if we are tempted, is it God that tempts us, or is it our own thoughts that tempt us, or is it our own thoughts? It's something we desire deep down inside. And everyone is tempted, but is there a way to resist temptation?
Don't look at the temptation.
Don't look at it? How about you?
What would you do to resist temptation?
Maybe walk away from it so I wouldn't get distracted by it.
How about you?
Well,
I know you're really eyeing that apple up,
yeah.
But I'm going to put it back in the basket.
I guess try to look away from it.
Okay. All right. Well, Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted one time by the devil. And do you know what he used to get rid of the temptation to help him? He used God's word. And he told the devil things from the Bible. So he resisted by God's help. Do you think God would help us resist temptation?
Yeah,
I think he might. So when you're tempted to eat that candy bar or try those cookies or even the apple, maybe you can say, God, give me the strength not to dig into my temptation, but to resist it. Okay? So let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for providing for us and giving us things so that we cannot be tempted. And help us remember to rely on you and call on your name and read read our Bibles when we have temptations that come our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may go back to your seats. Thank you for returning my coin.
Join us in singing Thy Word.
There is something true about each of us this morning. We've all been affected by the storms and the struggles of life. The question is, how do we respond? Like a tennis ball? Or like Play-Doh? You see, when you put pressure on Play-Doh, it leaves a lasting imprint. Everyone can tell that it's been tampered with because of the mark it leaves. However, when you put pressure on a tennis ball, although it may initially cave in to the stress, it does not remain in that condition. It always bounces back to its original shape. Thank you, LaShane. Give him a round of applause. So think about that today. How are we responding to the pressures and struggles of life? There's a few hard facts we need to grasp. Just because we accepted Jesus into our lives, just because we believe and we trust in him, trials and temptations will not disappear. As a matter of fact, they may very well increase. Now, I'm sure this isn't the kind of truth we wanted to hear this morning, because we want the easy button. Give us blessings. Keep the challenges away. But Laura Story says it well in her song, Blessings. What if our blessings come through raindrops? What if our healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know God is near? What if the trials of this life are His mercies in disguise? Friends, these trials do something deeper and easier life could never do. They build character. They develop perseverance. They're preparing us for the life ever after. But have you ever noticed a lot of the same things keep coming back at us? And the same sins keep resulting? Here's our sign. God is developing strength within us. It's like lifting things up and putting them down. Every time that struggle hits, it gets easier and easier to handle. Just like the more weights we lift, the stronger we become. So this morning, I invite us to say yes to the trials in our lives. Because with God's help, they can't defeat us. To illustrate this, I want to introduce you to somebody. He's a little shy. He can be a bit hard-shelled. But after all, the kids will be in the wild this week at VBS. So LaShane's going to walk around, and you can say hi to our little guy named Squirt. Now, as he's being brought around, we'll play a video clip from Finding Nemo that'll help you identify where we got his name from.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Whoa! Whoa! That was so cool! Hey, Dad, did you see that? Did you see me? Did you see what I see?
You so totally rock, Squirt! So give me some fin. Noggin. Dude. Oh, intro. Jellyman, offspring. Offspring, Jellyman.
Jelly? Sweet.
Totally.
Well, apparently, I must have done something you all liked. dude.
You rock, dude.
Ow.
Curl away, my son. Oh, it's awesome, Jellyman. Little dudes are just eggs. We leave them on the beach to hatch, and then coo-coo-ca-choo, they find their way back to the big old blue.
All by themselves?
Chaw.
But dude, how do you know when they're ready?
Well, you never really know, but when they know, you'll know, you know? Oh.
So there he was. Now, what you're seeing as LaShane comes around is a red-eared slider. But you'll notice how he keeps his head stuck out as long as he doesn't sense fear. As long as he feels safe. As long as he feels comfortable. But if LaShane were to get too near to him or one of you, he would retreat his head back into his shell. Now, friends, that'll work for a while. But he's going to need to eat. He's going to need to drink. Some sources say that the little guy could live up to 1 year at most. But think about Squirt for a moment. Think about turtles. In a lot of ways, we're like them. We may stay at home. We may trap ourselves inside our own minds. And I don't know about you, but for me, that can be a very dangerous place. We can find it difficult to express ourselves openly and honestly. We don't know what it's like to be completely vulnerable with one another. And for good reason. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid what people might think. Because image matters to us. So we stay in whatever shell that we've created for ourselves. Maybe it's not home. Maybe it's at work or at a local bar. Maybe it's on the golf course. Wherever we can stay away from others. But friends, I have a dream of a world where we can all share life together. Without caution, without pause, full throttle into who we are. And in that world, we accept each other. We love each other. We serve each other as Jesus intended. Not like that frightened turtle. But for some of us this morning, our shells may be cracked. Our hearts may be shattered. But if we stay hidden too long, day by day, we die inside more and more. We start to lose who we are in Christ and in relation to each other. Our minds get the best of us and we start to overthink. Any overthinkers here this morning? And we process this false reality that everyone is against us. And ultimately, friends, when this happens, we simply can't grow. We can't experience God in community. We can't gather together around the Word and learn how to walk the talk. Now, I'm not entirely naive. I know we think differently and we don't always see eye to eye. But deep down, I have to believe we had this amazing Little Swatara Church of the Brethren connection. Amen? Amen? You see, we actually have commonalities. We all have a love for Jesus Christ, and that fuels us to have a love for each other. Deep down, I really have to believe we want to walk the talk. And as our annual conference theme calls us to do, proclaim Christ and reclaim passion. But oh, how we know emotions can run high and can get in the way of moving forward. Defenses go up and the negative begins to set in. And in one way or another, we can relate to that downward spiral that results. Negative feeds off of negative. The more we dwell, the greater we swell. And those thoughts become captive. So, brothers and sisters, let's make a choice. Let's decide once and for all to stay positive amidst the trials. Amidst the temptations we face individually and as a denomination. And here's how we can do just that. Where was I? So I invite us to go with me for a moment to the beach. Whether you love the beach or you really don't like the beach, imagine your feet walking in the sand along the edge of the ocean. The waves are splashing. The sun is shining, and suddenly we come across a baby sea turtle. Every single part of us wants to pick up that tiny creature and place it in the big blue. But friends, that baby turtle needs to struggle. and slowly flap through the rough sand on his journey to the ocean. He's gaining strength. He's developing perseverance. He has a goal set before him, even though every little inch of him wants to give up. He keeps going. And all we can do is cheer him on. His progress is slow but sure, until he drops into a shallow sandal print in the sand. He flaps and turns, and finally, to our extreme delight, he gets himself through his first trial. He's headed for another deeper shoe print, and all we can do is watch. It's hard for us not to pick him up and help him to the other side. But these trials are necessary. Spontaneously, we all clap when he completes his second trial. Finally, he gets closer to the edge of the water. He's made it to the first incoming wave. And then immediately, he's thrown back into the wet sand as the wave recedes. This determined tiny turtle carries on, and he catches the next wave. He swam into it like an Olympic champ and headed for the deep blue ocean. With smiles and cheers, we watch as he swims out of sight. But then the thought crosses our mind. We think to ourselves, it is going to be a miracle if he survives, as the true test is about to begin. You see, there's so many natural enemies out there. They're in the air, they're in the water, they're on the land, and they want nothing more than to devour him. It's very possible he may not even live to be a mature turtle. As a matter of fact, statistics say only 1 or 2% survive. We, as Christians, like that baby turtle, have an enemy that wants to keep us from walking the talk. Like the imprints in the sand, he's looking for ways to trip us up. He loves to whisper lies to us, constantly telling us we're not good enough. He'll say something like, Jesus didn't pay it all. You have to do something too. And it's okay to tell a white lie. It won't hurt anyone. God's not going to care. But stay alert. Watch out for the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, just like in the wild, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We, too, like the turtle, have other enemies. As Pogo wisely said, we have met the enemy, and it is us. Pride is an enemy of our own making. Pride is the wave that knocks us over and causes us to fall back. Pride shouts, I know more than my Sunday school teacher. I should be the one teaching. I know enough about the Bible. I don't need to go to church anymore. Pride's hero is the great and mighty I. Obadiah 1:3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Romans 12:16, never be wise in your own sight. One thing we know about our turtle, he doesn't care about owning the entire ocean. He's content to enjoy the moment. Very often, we Christians are swallowed up in a sea of discontentment. We're drowning in an ocean of wanting more and more. We're never content with what we have. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Just like the stumbling baby turtle, we're always being picked back up by God, and he leads us on the right pathway. Joel 2:13, return to the Lord your God, For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. It's wonderful being part of a cheering crowd, urging our little turtle on his way. But friends, think about this for a moment. We too have a great crowd of witnesses cheering and encouraging us. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, we'll never know if our little turtle overcame all his enemies and grew up to be a wise old sea turtle. However, we who are called by God will be kept by God until the day of redemption. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we turn to our passage in James 1, I invite us to read this together. As I'm praying, it'll be on the screen. Let us read this together, the entire scripture verses this morning. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Lord, we thank you for your word. And as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that it would land where it needs to land, and we would know what it is that we are to take away this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you have ever used the excuse, the devil made me do it? Yeah? We like to deflect blame from our own poor choices, don't we? It was the same in James' day. They even tried to blame God for their own failures, as though he made it impossible for them to resist wrongdoing. But we know God does not work that way. James 1:13 clearly stated that God is not the source of temptation. Rather, our own desires entice us to take what we want when we want it. We know the feeling of being baited. As Francis Chan would state, God says something is wrong or evil, but we want it anyway. We have a choice at that moment. Just like that fish that's been lured away, either we go and we grab it or we swim the other way. Our Heavenly Father is the source of every good gift and every perfect gift. He started by giving us life itself. His love gives us purpose and significance just because we are his children. All the good things in life are bonus, extra blessings that he chooses to give us. So don't listen to the tempter's deceptive words. Giving in to temptation takes us down a road from temporary pleasure to sin, which, if not stopped, we just heard, will lead to death. What seems so small can have a major consequence. Gossip could lead to a broken relationship. Gluttony can lead to chronic illness. Speeding can lead to car accidents. Our choices point us toward life or toward death. It's hard to believe that God's way is best when we're being tempted, because we get easily distracted by the glitter of more things, more attention, more pleasure. The promises of pleasure cause what we could call temporary blindness. But James tells us not to be deceived. Remember, God gives us an entirely new life that is infinitely better than anything the tempter could ever offer. A kind word can pull someone out of suicidal thoughts. Healthy eating honors the body God gave us. Generosity combats our selfish tendencies. We often assume that the best way to fight temptation is self-discipline. Grit your teeth and do the right thing. Just say no. And there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe, just maybe, there's an even better approach. What if we said yes to the kind of life God wants to give us? Think about that best strategy to fight temptation. The hard fact is, we will be tempted. There's no question about that this morning. So what can we do to prepare for temptation? What steps can we take this very day to obey and to honor God's way? You see, everything that we think we'll lose by doing so, we'll gain in Jesus Christ. So this morning, as the praise team comes forward, I invite us to fight the good fight by walking the talk. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you are so good. You have given us an incredible example by which we might live. Lord, your word gives us what we need for every moment of every day. But Lord, we know that there's times we just remain in that shell, whatever it may look like. And we choose not to be part of fellowship. We choose not to be part of gathering around the word. But today, Lord, we take a stand and we invite ourselves. We say yes to the trials of this life. And we know by what your word says how we can deal with them. So Lord, deliver us. Help us. Guide us. And let us be holy. Let us walk the talk. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
I invite you to stand and join in singing, "I Saw the Light."
I saw the light.
There's one promise we have today. The waves will continue to crash. But there's an even greater promise, brothers and sisters. The Lord will help us crash back against that wave. He'll give us all we need to face that temptation, to deliver us from that evil. And we shall together be able to walk the talk. May it be so. Amen.